Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Everybody, hope you're doing well out there. I'm Rick Devins, and this is Esports for Beginners on the Rob Has a Podcast Network. The coronavirus pandemic has put traditional sports on hold, so now I'm looking into the world of esports. This is part one of a limited podcast series. I'm going to be talking with gamers and folks that are rooted in the world of esports. And you're also going to hear from professional athletes about how the sports world is reacting to the coronavirus. I've got some survivors in the mix today. I'm going to talk to Ken Hong, a lot to look forward to there. And next episode, I'm speaking with Brad Culpepper. So let's start things off with a look at how the coronavirus has shut down sports in America. March 11th, NBA player Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz test positive for coronavirus. That night, the league suspends the season until further notice. The next day, March 12th, the National Hockey League suspends their season, and later that day, the NCAA tournament is canceled. No March Madness this year. Major League Baseball was supposed to celebrate opening day on March 26th. Instead, the season is postponed. This is the first non-strike-related postponement since 1919, when the league had to wait for players to be released from military service following the armistice at the end of World War I. Sports is more than a distraction. It's how many of us measure time, how we keep track of the days, the seasons, the years. James Earl Jones puts it more eloquently than I ever could in his famous monologue from The Field of Dreams.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good. And it could be again.
And it will be again. But for now, sports are gone with no return in sight. So where do fans turn to fill the baseball-shaped hole in our hearts? Well, major broadcast networks are turning to esports. NASCAR drivers are racing in video games on Fox. NBA stars controlling themselves in NBA 2K, live on ESPN, and professional announcers adding color commentary to video game simulations. If they're turning to esports, why shouldn't we? And who better to introduce me to the world of esports than a fellow survivor He was fifth place on Survivor's 17th season, Survivor Gabon, gaming his way all the way through. And he also earned the nickname the King of Smash through his esports prowess. We're going to dig in deep to that. Ken Hong, thanks for joining me, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem. I'm happy to talk about esports to everybody that doesn't even know about it.
Exactly. This is esports for beginners. So you are our professor today, Ken. But first, I just wanted to check in with you. What's life like for you? What was life like for you before the pandemic? And what's life like for you now?
Pretty much the same thing. Well, actually, it's not. Like, usually they host like esports tournaments and everybody goes to it and competes for like a big prize money. And it's a big, like, usually it's in a big auditorium or a big place, kind of like in Vegas. They have it at the Manila Bay, a tournament called Evo Evolution. And they have all these fighting games, like top players from all over the globe come there to compete. And now everything is gone. Like, no one's hosting any tournaments. Everything's done by home. There's online tournaments, but, you know, everything's like so in terms of technical, in terms of skill, that no one likes to play online because there's some kind of lag. You know, there's always people always complain about the lag. So there's like online tournaments, but there's always tournament players who only play online and they're really good at online, but no one likes to play online as far as I can tell. But I mean, there's still tournaments online, but people rather see it like face to face, in person, real time action.
So it's already so interesting. We're talking about live tournaments versus online tournaments and the preference. See, we're already digging into a world that I know nothing about.
Yeah, so, and just to mention more on that, like most people just stream, you know, there's a place called Twitch and people stream on Twitch and people watch them play like stuff online or online tournaments. So people can still watch it. It's just online, not in person.
So tell me a little bit. Let's just start broad strokes, Kenny. What is esports for someone who has no idea what we're talking about?
Okay, so esports, the E stands for electronics, and then sports, kind of like any other sports that you would think of, like soccer, football, whatever, but it's in a electronical like space. So like it's games, basically the video games of Olympic, like the Olympics of video games. So you could, it's just say like, for example, football or baseball, right? People like watching football, baseball, and they're really into the players. They get into the teams. There's always like a story for every like team or whatever. You know, it's the same thing with esports. There's teams. There's in every different type of genre in games. There's like there's so many genres in games, like just like sports. I mean, you could consider like, you know, golf a sport, right?
Right.
Or bowling, or What's that thing where, like, I think it's like really big in Canada where like they shoot the little thing and they start like
curling,
they start, like, kind of mopping
they,
the floor,
like, sweep the ice. Yeah, curling.
Yeah. Well, what is it called?
It's called curling.
Yeah, curling. Yeah, that's also considered a sport. And I know like there's people who like ride horses and do tricks on horses and they call that a sport. So like, yeah. But the thing is, the difference is like with sports, like it's really physical. You know, well, most sports are really physical. With esports, like people don't really consider it a sport technically because it's not physical.
So,
and people tend to make fun of that.
So for esports, we're watching the best players in the world at any given game. What are some of the popular games people would recognize that are esports games?
Okay, so Fortnite is probably one of the biggest games right now.
Right, everywhere.
Guys, yeah, if you guys know anything about Ninja, he's been on like talk shows. He's been on pretty much like Ellen.
He's one of the players, one of the best Fortnite players out there. He's like
he was
Peyton
one of the
Manning
best.
Or Tom Brady.
Pretty much. He's very popular in his stream success. He's very good, so people like to watch him, and he's also entertaining. So he streams and he gets a lot of views. He gets more viewers than like he gets like 200,000 viewers sometimes.
So this was one of my other questions. I was going to ask, if we want to look into esports, if we're just really itching to see something that's competitive, you know, to make up for that gap in our lives that sports filled for so long, we can watch these tournaments, but there's also just basically I can watch Ninja practice. Is that what
yeah,
it is?
Yeah, pretty much. He'll stream like casual games or whatever, depending on what game you're interested in. Then you should start getting to that type of game. So let's say you're into like fighting games, Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter. So you should start watching a pro Street Fighter play on his stream or something. And then you'll see him play at tournaments. And then there's rivalries. There's, you know, there's shit talk. There's all sorts of things that keeps people entertained, you know?
So it's got all the things that we really do appreciate about sports. You don't know what's going to happen. You have underdogs, I imagine.
Yep.
Upsets.
Yep. And there's also demons, like in tournaments, like brackets, right? There's always like a nowadays, there's like a 2,000, 3,000 bracket, whatever, at big tournaments, you know? And then there's always that one player or one character that you as a player that don't like to face, and they call that a demon. So like if you go against that person or player, then you're most likely going to lose because that's your demon. Like you have a hard time against that player.
Give me an example. Is this a player or a character in the game?
It could be both. Like let's say
you're a Smash Brothers guy.
Yes, I'm a Smash Brothers player.
So who was your demon?
Technically, any one of the like top Sheik players. I hate playing against Sheik players because I played a character named Marth of the Sword, and Sheik it's just like I could beat some of the Sheiks, like the top Sheiks, but like the top Sheiks would give me a really hard time. I mean, it's pretty much like in anything in real sports, you know, I'm sure there's teams that always lose to a certain team, and if they don't go against that team, they'll do probably better in, you know, the tournament or whatever.
Yeah, if that team's the only team that uses a zone defense, then it's going to affect how one team plays against them.
See, here's the thing. I grew up with the games, video games. I was never into like real sports, like football. And I still don't understand like what's the hype between like real football. And, you know, I'd go to like some games here and there because like friends would drag me out there, but I would never know what was going on. Like people would stand up and cheer when something happened. And then I would just like feel like out of the loop, you know? I'd just do whatever people do, what my friends do. They're like, oh, stand up. Like he just made like a home run or something. And I would stand up and just like cheer or whatever, you know? But I was never into that stuff. I was always into games, you know? So like when I go to these esports tournaments or when I watch someone do something crazy, I would like scream or stand up and cheer, you know, because it's hype for me, you know?
Right.
And I'm sure like a lot of people relate to that because a lot of people grew up with games. A lot of people grew up with like sports. So it just depends on which genre you're into.
Absolutely. I remember growing up in my living room and having football on the TV. And I also remember very distinctly being in my buddy's basement and beating Mario Brothers 3 and how monumental that was and time well spent.
Yeah.
Kenny, let's take a detour here. Ken, tell me about your journey. For people who don't know, tell us where you started and, you know, how high you got and what you're doing now.
Okay, so basically when I always played games when I was a kid. You know, that was my like go-to after school, you know, like after I was finished homework or whatever, I would go straight to games. Started with Mario Brothers, started with actually the original Duck Hunt on the Nintendo.
There you go. Get your Nintendo gun.
Yeah, then, you know, I started playing fighting games, and then Smash Brothers came out, and I got really addicted to that. Every weekend, I'd play with my friends. They'd come over, spend the night. We played for 32 hours plus, no sleep. And then I was just out of the blue, I was just like the best out of the group, you know? And then I just seeked more competition, and that's the thing, like, if you're the best and you're just playing like in your group anyways, and you're just playing like the same people, you're just like, oh, I kind of want like more of a competition. So, you know,
Now, Ken, this was on Smash Brothers, so it's not on computer. So you definitely weren't online. It must have been a lot more difficult than to find competition.
I mean, back in the day, the just online just barely started, you know?
Yeah.
And just, I mean, there was forums and stuff, but you couldn't play online, and there wasn't even YouTube. So like no one knew.
You had to go physically find your competition to beat.
Yeah, but there was boards, you know, there was boards where people were talking shit and say, oh, I'm the best. No, I'm the best. And then people would just say, well, if someone wants to figure out who's the best, it's just host tournaments, you know, and that's pretty much like the start of esports. Like, this is esports underground, though. This is before anything became esports, you know.
Tell me about your first tournament that you showed up to.
So my journey was a little different. I challenged the best players at the time who already went to tournaments. And I challenged them for like a big, like a $500 money match off the start. Like, cause I was so confident in my skill.
Just your own money? You just got $500 and said, I'm going to bet it on myself?
Well, it started with like a comment. Like, it started like $50, you know, and then it just escalated to like $500.
But this is just you betting your own money on yourself.
Yeah. Well, these guys were like the top of the line, like the top of the top players at the time. They've actually won like official tournaments and stuff.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, this is to them, it was free money. And to me, I was just like, I thought like at the time, because I thought I was the best since I beat everybody in my area.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And there's actually a documentary on YouTube called the Smash Brothers series. And if you guys want to check out that, it's like 8 hours long. And if you want to check out that just describes my whole entire like start. But basically, to keep things short, I challenged them. I ended up winning. And then they said I wasn't the best because I didn't win any tournaments. So then I started traveling to tournaments afterwards and then started winning more. But if you guys want to go in debt in like my history, there's a Smash series called the Smash Brothers documentary on YouTube, and you can check it out, and it'll talk about everything.
That's so amazing, though. I mean, we talk about the great stories in sports, and that's such a big part of what brings people to sports, and you're talking about your up-and-coming story. You're such a David, and you just went rogue, man. I love it.
And it's also like the thing about that makes certain like scenes or certain games so popular. It's history, you know? Every esports game nowadays has a really good history that's still like really popular because it has such a good history.
Give me an example.
Like StarCraft, for example, right? I used to follow StarCraft back in the day. I tried to get good at the game, and you know, I was good, but not like the best. I played a lot, and it has a really good history in terms of the players, like how it started with it started in America to Korea, South Korea, and Korea was like in a depression at the time, and StarCraft got Korea out of its depression. That's how crazy it is. And StarCraft now, StarCraft back then was like, they treated their players like how we would treat our top athletes. They would, they were all like promoted on TV. They had all the, you know, they
were a big deal.
They were a big deal. They were in magazines, you know, they were promoted everywhere. They were like the face of like Korea. Well, instead of their like sports players, it was their StarCraft players.
That's amazing. And each of the different sports has their own story like this, a background. Maybe they didn't lift a whole country out of depression, but something that you can grab onto, kind of like a sports team.
Yeah, pretty much. Like any genre of games, they definitely have a history. Depending on how far it goes, like obviously like the new games, they don't have a back history. Like,
right, they're creating their history.
They're starting their history. Yeah. Like Fortnite, for example, like I'm sure they have a history now because it's been out for maybe three years, I don't know.
And is blowing up all over again during this pandemic while people are busy.
Yeah, there's a new game called Valorant out right now, mm-hmm, from Riot, and everyone's trying to get their beta key right now, and it's blowing up. It's all over Twitter.
That's going to be one of the big esports games coming up.
It looks like it.
So everyone wants to get the beta so that they can get their reps in, because this isn't something that you just have natural talent at, or at least that's not going to take you very far. How much work do you have to put in? I mean, did you, as you were chasing your Smash Brothers success, were you giving up all other games? What was your process in terms of training or practicing for an esports?
I mean, I would still play other games.
Yeah,
but I would play it for fun, maybe 1 or 2 hours a day. But I would play mostly Smash. I would
practice. How many
hours a day? It's just like training, like for professional athletes. You know, how many hours they put in? I'm sure people or me or other people put in just as many hours or more, just depending on how comfortable you feel. You know, if you get this thing down, you always have to practice. For me, it was a different type of practice. I liked playing more to react and read my opponents. I wasn't more of a tech skill guy, but my tech skill was still up there because I played a lot. Tech skill meaning your ability to perform in terms of like technical aspects of the game. You know,
yeah, you like were known Smash, for being on attack mode.
Yeah, well, for me, I wasn't really tech skill savvy. I was more able to read my opponents and try to think ahead to what they would do and just kind of react and punish them for that. So everybody has their different skills, and just like athletes, they have like
right
their stamina, their, you know, their vitality,
exactly,
whatever. Yeah, everybody has a different skill.
Some guys are really fast. Some guys are really great route runners, you know,
exactly,
and technical in that area. So you challenge some of these huge names, you win, you get yourself notoriety, but they don't give you credit because you have to win these tournaments. Pick up there and tell us a little bit more about your journey and where it ended up.
So I just went to these tournaments and I started winning them all. And then they just officially said, wow, he's good. He's been winning all these tournaments, you know? And then people are then at the time YouTube started coming out, so people were posting these videos of me playing, and then people started trying to figure me out, and I won tournaments for the 4 years straight. So then they nicknamed the term for me as King of Smash.
King of Smash. Yeah. You and Donkey Kong, bro. That is awesome.
Yeah. So then I was like the top player of the time. And then, then I retired. And then afterwards I went on Survivor, and then I graduated college. And then now, I came back to esports a little bit, cause you know, esports blew up. I'm on a team called Team Liquid, and we're in many games. We're one of the top teams in, NA, which is North America. Because there's like teams in Europe, there's North America, there's Japan, there's all sorts of teams. And then I stream on Twitch, and then I also freelance with the art. So that's what I'm doing right now.
That's outstanding. I want to dig into a lot of that, including the team stuff. But just to go back real quick to you being the King of Smash, when you had earned the title King of Smash and you walk into one of these tournaments that you described earlier that aren't happening right now, but the live tournaments, the live atmosphere, mm-hmm. I mean, these are people that traveled there for that specific reason to watch and play these games. Everyone must have known who you are. What's that like?
It's a double-edged sword, to be honest, because there's a lot of people who want to take you out, you know, because they're like, okay, that's the player. That's the player to beat. If I want to be the best, I have to beat that player. And there's also like fans, you know, people bombarded. Oh, you're the King of Smash. Can I get your autograph? Take pictures and stuff. And that takes a toll on you too, because like you're there to play the tournament. And you kind of want to concentrate in the tournament. And the tournaments last, like, man, sometimes they last a whole day, 2 days, whatever. Usually it's like 3 days, but tournaments are pretty much like at least 12 hours of straight gameplay sometimes, you know? And sometimes you feel tired, sometimes you're hungry, whatever, you know, and just have to make sure that you're playing well.
So, yeah, it really is. There's so many endurance and outside factors you don't think
so about. Like, even like, okay, so people are like esports saying that, I mean, people in sports are saying esports doesn't take anything in terms of like physical activity. Like, come on, like you're out there at a tournament. You have to have some endurance, you know, you can't
absolutely.
Just like, yeah, it's yeah. Also, it's some endurance, but there's also a lot of mental endurance.
That's what I was just thinking about. It's so easy as a casual gamer to get in front of the screen and zone out and just kind of let it happen. And I would think, as a gamer in an esports competition, you have to remain so focused for so long.
Exactly. And that's why there's energy drinks out there like Red Bull and Monster, right? And,
right. Which are huge in gaming, right?
Exactly. Now they're so invested in gaming because they need to make sure like you're on top of your game. And if you're coming to a tournament and you have like 2 hours of sleep the night before, you're going to have to like drink something or do something to have that energy to play, you know?
Yeah. And just again, comparing this to sports, which is what this is all about, how esports can fill the gap that sports has left in our lives. I think about football and how every 2 years, you know, you'll get a team, but when they win the Super Bowl, it's so hard to repeat. You know, you'll get a team that sticks around for 1 year, 2 years, but you so rarely find a team like the Patriots that win for so long. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because there's so much pressure being at the top. It's a lot more fun being the underdog. Was that what it was like for you once you got up high? I mean, you retired young. Was it just draining to have to compete at that high level?
I think anyone who's been at the top could say that it is draining. Like, there's also a guy named Zero who was just like me. He went all the Smash. It was a Smash Melee, but he played Smash on the Wii U. And he won all these tournaments, and he just got so much shit for it. Everybody was just hated him for some reason because he kept on winning, you know? And he talks about his story too, and it's very similar to mine. And it is very draining because, like, you're the number one target. People just hate you for just winning, and it'll just, like, it'll just come down to your personality too, you know? Because, like, they'll just say, oh, he's an ass because he wins all the time, or I hate him, blah, blah, blah. It's just more shit talk on top of that. So it is draining.
Is it like sports where Tom Brady is a huge target? He gets so much hate, but he also has a huge fan base. Did you get both? Did you get a lot of love, but it's that hate that's draining?
For me, since it was the start of esports, I had more hate than love. For Zero, I would say half-half. Just depending on, like, the society, how it is nowadays, yeah. You know. I mean, people have, you know, have gone down. Because back then, bullying was still a thing. And nowadays, like, people are trying to spread the word, like, bullying's not cool, you know.
Yeah. So it just got to be a little too much, and you were just... It was taking up too much of your life, and you decided you wanted a break?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't decide to say, like, esports is my career, you know, in life. I played Smash because I loved Smash, and I just made money on the side, you know? Nowadays, like, kids are making it a career. They want to be good at this game, and they want to make money off of it. There's college courses now that you could take for, like, esports, which is crazy. Colleges are having... esports teams, and they're actually backing them up with money in terms of grants. And I think Pokimane, she's a really popular streamer. She's very popular, and she has a grant thing for UCI for people to become esports players.
Wow!
So she'll put money into like their esports teams, so people can practice and then travel and compete.
Just developing athletes, because there's so many more opportunities now for gamers to make money than even a few years ago when you were King of Smash, right?
Yeah.
Well, when you became King of Smash.
Exactly. And back then, like I said, esports wasn't a thing. Now it's a thing. And when I would go out back then and people would say, oh, what do you do as a job? And I would say, I would play video games in tournaments. And they would just laugh at me. They're like, you play video games for money? Huh? Like, they would just laugh at me. They're like, What is that? Like, what the hell is that? But nowadays, like, there's Ninja on, like, Jimmy Fallon, and there's kids saying, Mom, Dad, I want to be a professional esports player. And then they're totally okay with it, which is crazy.
Yeah, I want to be a professional esports player, and I'll buy you a new mansion.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what brought you back? Did you see that just how far esports had come and that there was such a bigger platform now? And you said, man, I want to piece of that, like, that'd be
I
nice.
Mean, no, I had a special place in for Smash Brothers in my heart, you know, for the community, because it's a community that I pretty
just
much
like
built.
Sports, you have a passion for it.
Yeah, and I'd come back and see everybody and see how everything's done, you know, and I love esports. Like, I just love video games. I still watch games that I used to play, you know, like Dota. And you talked about, like, these football teams, like, having a hard time to win. And Dota is just, like, pretty much like a team, you know. There's a five or six players on a team. It's a MOBA game, and it's very popular, and people are competing for like 25 million.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's a tournament called TI, which is the international, and there's these teams that have won an international. Like, it's been like up to like TI 6 or 7 or 8 by now, and they've won a TI before, but it's been so hard for them to win another TI. But I think there's a team that has actually won a TI like once or twice. Man. So, but the competition always gets harder and harder. Because, like, and it's crazy because all these younger kids are starting to take over. The young kids are the threats now.
Yeah, that is amazing. It's got to make you just crazy that this wasn't around as you were growing up. Just to think that you could erect people.
I mean, when I started, I was 14, and I was taking out people who were like 21 and 23. And they're like, man, these young kids, you know? And now I look back. And I was like, I was a young kid. And then I look back, and it's like, these young kids, man, they're so good. Their reflexes are on top notch. Like, they're like 13, 14, 15. They're just...
It's all cyclical. They didn't go play Survivor and kill a bunch of brain cells by starving.
I mean, if you're here's the thing. Like, I've been a
Speaking for myself, Ken, not for you.
But, like, I've been through like anything like Survivor put me through, like mentally, you know. Physically, like, Survivor was hard physically for me, but mentally, like, I was there, you know.
Yeah, and you treated it so much like a game and so successfully. I mean, like, very few people had done up to that point. Your game was so notable in that way. You were such a tactician. It was great.
Thank you.
So what made you decide, you decide to come back? How does that work? Do you show up at a tournament? Do you make an announcement? What happens when you decide to come out of retirement?
Well,
Basically, you're Michael Jordan. You walked away as champ.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I came back, and Team Liquid, one of the owners of Team Liquid nowadays, Victor, he saw the Smash Brothers document, and he said, hey, do you want to come back and play? Like, it doesn't matter if you win or not, but I really enjoyed the Smash Brothers document, and I really enjoyed your gameplay. Do you want to come back and rep Team Liquid? And I said, let me think about that. Thought about it, and I said, you know what? Why not? And that's how I came back. And I had some mild success. I did pretty well at, a few top tournaments, too. And I was ranked in my area, which is, one of the best areas of Smash Brothers in the nation, in SoCal. I was ranked, top 10. I was at least a top 100 player. So
outstanding, still got it. What does it mean to be on a team?
It means a lot. It means it's kind of you don't have to worry about travel. Like Team Liquid will, or your team would pay for a lot of the travel fees, and if you need a new controller, or they'll help you out. It feels a lot better than just if you weren't on a team, you're just stressing I need to get some money to go to this tournament, back in the day, I wasn't sponsored or anything. So all my travels when I became the King of Smash came out of my own pocket,
Yeah.
And so with a team, they provide you hotel fares, plane fares, pretty much anything you need.
That's awesome. And is it like golf? Are you wearing Team Liquid stuff?
Oh yeah, they have lots of apparel. Check it out, the Team Liquid store. They have lots of, and then I think we're with Marvel too, so we have some Marvel gear.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's a Captain America jersey, Team Liquid jersey. There's a Spider-Man jersey. It's awesome.
So Team Liquid, go.
Yeah, Team Liquid is also sponsored by lots of other companies that are into esports, like Monster, the Monster energy drinks that I was talking about, gamer chairs called Need for Seat, keyboards, mouses from a company called Alienware. Alienware is our top sponsor, so we have facilities of Alienware for our teams to practice in.
That's so cool, man. And it reminds me a lot of how NASCAR is set up, where mm-hmm. one owner will own a team that might have three cars, and then they get the sponsorship for all those different cars, but it's all under the flag of that owner. And sometimes the teammates even end up going against each other. Does that happen in esports?
Yeah, it's called team kill. It happens a lot. So if I'm a really good player and I make it to round of eight, top eight player, and one of my players who I train with also makes it there, then we have to play each other, and then whoever wins goes on, and it's called team kill. It happens all the time,
but you never have to sacrifice for the team. That's never something you're expected to do.
No, usually the best player plays it out, you're in charge of your own career, not the team.
At that point,
the team is there to support you, to try to help you be the best that you can.
So Team Liquid, you said, is one of the biggest in North America. Tell me about it. What else are they in? How many Smash Brothers do they have? What's the deal?
Okay, so there's four Smash Brothers players. Me, this guy named Hungrybox, who's actually the best player at Smash Brothers right now. He plays Jigglypuff. A guy who's also an old school player like me, named Chillin' Dude. And another old school player named Chudat. So I guess Team Liquid likes the old Smash players. and then on top of that, we have Fortnite players, we have Dota players, we have StarCraft players. But Team Liquid started with StarCraft. They were specifically just known for StarCraft, and then now they got bigger and they spread out to other games. They have a League team, which is also very popular. People love our League of Legends team. I was into Dota a lot, so I followed our Dota team. We have Apex, we have whatever games you can mention, they're top, we have a team in there probably.
They have their hands in everything.
Yeah, and also on top of that, with Team Liquid, they have an A team and they also have a B team. So they will train their B team to try to get as good as their A team, and then...
Nice. So how often do you train with Team Liquid?
It just depends on, for me, I stream a lot, and sometimes I would play with my team players, but for other games, they do it all the time.
And I want to get into streaming now. Okay. You mentioned Twitch. I have to confess, I've never been on Twitch. Mm-hmm. Can you tell, it's an app that I just download like Netflix.
There's an app and there's also a website that you can do, and you can also stream whatever you want. So let's say you're playing Zelda games, right?
Right. And I love.
Yep. And you can stream that on Twitch, and then people can go into your little chat, your own personal space, and watch you play, and they can either backseat game you, or just I really enjoy watching you play Zelda. Like, Rick, can you stream some more? Like, PG, for example, PG from Survivor, right?
Right.
She's also a gamer. She played StarCraft back in the day, and that's how I met her, through StarCraft. And then she plays a game called League of Legends now, and I told her to stream it, and she started streaming it, and all her fans came in, and then they can, like, donate some money to you because it's like it's like a tip, you know, just say you're a performer, and they donate money, and then she's able to, like, to buy all her, like, skins on League of Legends.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
What skins are, right?
Yeah, that's like your different, like, outfits or
exactly
creatures
that's what,
and stuff.
That's
right?
How most of the games make their money now. Like, it's free to play.
Yeah,
but
to
if
get
you
loot
want like
boxes or stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but if you want, like, your character to look pimped out, then you get skins and you get all these, like, dances, like a Fortnite. People they buy all these skins and they buy all the dances, and it costs a lot of money. Same
right,
with
that's
like
how you could get Deadpool recently, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And just like in Counter-Strike, you can buy all sorts of guns, and there's a big market in that. Like, people will sell guns for a lot of money, and these are all, like, not real guns, but they're, you know, they're in the game.
Strange new world, and I feel like you guys are leading the way. All right, but before I forget, where can we watch you specifically, Ken?
Oh, I have a Twitch channel called twitch.tv/liquidken, and yeah, I'm going to try to stream the new Final Fantasy game. So if you guys are interested in watching me play Final Fantasy VII, if, like, for example, if you don't want to play it and you want to watch someone play it, it's also a good thing to do.
Yeah, take the stress off and just enjoy the storyline. I love
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Like, there's some games where, like, I don't have the time to play, you know? So I'll be there watching on my phone while doing other things, you know? So it just takes the time off, just, like, listening to a podcast, you know?
That's outstanding. And I just can see this leading the way, because I can absolutely see very soon a world where LeBron James is just like, hey, I'm practicing today, check it out.
Exactly.
Like, come watch
people would
practice.
Love to see him, like, practice basketball, you know?
Yeah.
Shoot three-pointers all day. People would, and then he gets to interact.
People show up early to the Warriors games just to watch Steph Curry dribble.
That's crazy. It's the same thing. It's the same thing on Twitch, but it's easier access, like, because it's just online, you know? And on top of that, you can interact with your favorite player, too. You could say, hey, how's it going?
That's awesome.
And then I can see the message, and then I can respond, you know?
And correct me if I'm wrong, but another cool thing about Twitch that we don't get in the sports world that I wish we did. I mean, every once in a while, you might have two of the best players in the world just for the heck of it start playing each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
It happens a lot.
Like, just like LeBron James is just like, oh, hey, look, Kevin Durant just showed up. We're going to play one-on-one live for the next hour.
Exactly. They'd probably get like 4 million plus viewers.
Oh my gosh, I'd be there.
Exactly. And then they stream it online, so, like, everybody has easy access, you know? And it happens too. Like, let's say if one of the best players felt like, oh, I'm going to play against this other player and he's also really good just for practice, and they play for like 4, 5, 6 hours straight, they get a lot of viewers, like up to the thousands, you know? And it's crazy because, like, these top tournaments, like these big tournaments of the year, they get more viewers than, like, football nowadays.
Yeah.
In certain games. That's
because
why, like,
everyone who has a phone can tune in.
Yeah, and people who are also into sports are also into esports, you know? It's not like a division. There's no clear-cut line. Everything's mingled now. People watch so many things at once, you know? They can watch football on one of their screens and watch video games or whatever tournament's on another.
And, Ken, it's getting even more mingled now with sports out of the picture. Because NASCAR's literally broadcasting real life NASCAR drivers playing a NASCAR video game.
Oh, that's it's crazy because, like,
TV.
They like, so, like, Madden, for example, they have tournaments too, and it's like a football game, right?
Yeah.
And they have real professional athletes play Madden, and they broadcast that, and then people watch it, even though they suck.
Yeah, well,
people still watch it.
Last week, primetime on ESPN was exactly what you're describing, except it was NBA players playing NBA 2K against each other. And I was thinking, what would a gamer like Ken think of? Like, what does the best NBA 2K player in the world think when Kevin Durant is the one on ESPN?
Yeah, first, one, they would thank them because they're promoting their game, which is like, it gets more people to, you know, and they'll get more money off of that. And second, like, I'm sure if the best player who played, like, NBA, they're also big fans of these players, you know? So it's a good thing overall, you know?
Yeah,
it's just
absolutely.
Promotion. It's just promotion.
Have you noticed a pickup in any in the esports world since sports has kind of faded away?
No, because like these big, we host big tournaments too, and they're not relevant right now. It's just all online, you know? So like, they do online tournaments, and like I said, not a lot of people respect online tournaments because they rather watch it in person or watch stuff people perform in person. Because it's more hyped when people do it in person, and then there's always like, there's this guy in the fighting community. Whenever he gets ticked off, I think, in the Street Fighter, he would take off his shirt, and then people would just go crazy off of that. Like, you know, things like that happen, you know? Yeah. It's like one of the craziest things that happen, you know? And they don't see that because it's online, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's like LeBron James said that if there weren't going to be fans at games, which is one of the early solutions that the NBA had to the coronavirus, that he wasn't going to play because it's just not the same.
Here's the thing.
The squeak of the shoes and you don't get any feedback.
Doesn't matter if you admit it or not. Everybody is a gamer. Like there's some sort of games that you guys play. Puzzle games, like whatever. Like you play some sort of game. There's like people who despise like gamers, for example, and they're like, oh, I don't play games. Like, who plays games? And then I see them on their phone playing this little puzzle game or whatever, like a mobile game, you know? Like, everybody plays games. Like, if you're playing poker online, that's also a game. But people are competitive. Like, naturally, like, most people are competitive, so they want to play and win and beat people, you know? So, it's just, overall, like, sports and esports, it's just, no matter how you say it, it's just competition.
Absolutely. And you must get fired up, man. I mean, we saw it on your season of Survivor Gabon, you get a little, you start talking a little trash, you get a little fired up.
Yeah, it's just part of the gaming community.
Absolutely, believe me, I get fired up probably more playing a video game than I did my entire season of Survivor.
It's funner that way. It's like you can't take it with a grain of salt. It's funner. Like I play Mario Party with my friends, family, whatever, and then like I hate it when people just like, oh, he's just gonna win, just let him win. You know, I like it when someone's trying to stop me from winning, or like I'm trying to stop somebody, you know? It makes it more interesting, it makes it more fun,
right? And you get in each other's grill, but then just like real sports, you shake hands at the end.
Exactly. It's respect, you know?
Yeah,
like someone's gonna get salty, but that's the fun of it.
Exactly. If I'm not coming at you, then we're not as close as you think we are.
Exactly. it's just like Survivor, you know? Like if you're at home watching Survivor, you want things to happen. You don't just want some guy to just like ride his way all the way to the top, like just like that season with Boston Rob. What was it called? Redemption Island.
Yeah, Redemption Island.
People have said that was one of the worst seasons of Survivor, ever in history, because Boston Rob just rode his way all the way to the top. Nothing happened. Yeah. But
you need
some
twists, some turns, some showmanship.
Exactly. They want people to like try to stop that, you know.
Yeah, just like in the NFL and just like basketball and baseball, you need some sort of showmanship. You need and it's got to create controversy. In baseball, it's the bat flip. Mm-hmm. Players that'll hit a home run and then they'll have a bat flip that the other players think is too much, and you know the next guy up gets pegged by the pitcher. Is there any equivalent in esports, like unwritten rules? Is there a line you can't cross?
I mean, obviously you can't touch the player when they're playing, you know, but you know, sometimes people just like, I mean, there's yellow cards, red cards, like there's no coaching, obviously, like during the, when you're playing, you know, sometimes people are trying to like coach, because like, if you're playing somebody, you have to adapt and you have to try to figure them out. But if you're not, and let's say I'm outside the box and I'm looking and I'm like, oh, dude, you're pretty much falling for the same thing over and over. And you don't see that because you're just so heavily like in the game. If I told you that and you're like, oh, well, like, and then you started performing better because of that, then yeah, that's not right. You know?
Yeah. Just like you can't do
just like in poker, for example, if I knew you had pocket aces or something and I'm watching from home, I can't just call you, hey, the other guy has like pocket aces. And then you just fold your hand right away or whatever, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It'd be like the sign stealing scandal that the Astros got caught in.
Yeah, I don't know anything about sports, Rick, so you're going to have to, like...
Well, trust me, they were electronically stealing what the catcher was telling the pitcher was going to do.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then they were banging a trash can to communicate it to the batter.
Oh, my God.
It was a very...
I've seen YouTube videos where, like, the dirtiest things in, like, sports happen, and in baseball, it's just, like, some guy is... He I guess he put some gel on his hand or something, and he was able to throw like certain balls.
Uh-huh.
And it was just so slippery, the batter can hit it. I don't know, but it's just there's. I mean, people that's that,
right.
That shit
no
happens.
Illegal substances on
exactly
the ball.
That shit happens in everything, man. In terms of even like esports, we're not tested for drugs. You know, we can't for esports, but I think a lot of people have been doing drugs just to perform better. And it happens
really?
Just like yeah, just, it happens with like the Olympics. It happens with real sports, so I don't know how you know gamers are going to test that, but
like a concentration type drug someone would take to stay focused for that long,
exactly stuff like that.
Interesting, because that we talked about that being one of the biggest physically challenging parts of mm-hmm. esports.
Yeah, people can take drugs to make them concentrate better.
Wow.
You know, so I don't know if it happens in my community. I don't know if it happens in other communities. I'm sure it has, but there's no way to test for that. And then there's also like people going to tournaments and they're rigging certain games. Recently there was a because like most some of these tournaments, like underground tournaments, people bring like their own like systems so people can hook it up and play. And some people mod their systems to make things stronger or better. So they'll play on that system and then they'll play that character and then certain things will kill earlier than it's supposed to. And then they'll end up winning like their matches like that. Like I've heard that happen.
So it's like performance enhancing Xbox or
yeah. And then also they mod the controllers. In my community, there people mod the controllers. I guess it's not banned, but people mod the controllers and they put something called they make it so like you can dash back a lot easier. But you're supposed to be able to do that anyways. But here's the thing: all controllers are not built the same. So
yeah.
They mod the controllers and make it easier for people to do certain things, you know. And now like it's became a thing, like people who mod controllers are getting more jobs and more money because everybody wants a modded controller to be able to perform better and do better.
Wow. So who oversees it all? You know, in football it would be the NFL and basketball mm-hmm. would be the NBA. Is there one organization that's covering all of esports?
Usually people who make tournaments, they have the rule sets and all that stuff, and I guess they're allowing, so it's okay, because like they're saying if he could get a modded controller, that means that you can get a modded controller. So go ahead.
So who makes tournaments? Who is the, is there one league? Are there a bunch of leagues? Does every game have a league? How does it all work in terms of organization?
Usually for my community, Nintendo isn't backing it up, but usually the person who makes the game will back up that tournament. For example, like Blizzard, they made StarCraft. So they would host a StarCraft league and then they would put money, their own money into that, league, and then they'll put like a series of tournaments. You go to all these tournaments and then you get specific points, and then at the end of the year they'll host those big tournaments and only invites will be able to enter.
Nice. Like, so the idea being, you know, we're gonna show people the best in the world playing the game, and that's gonna make them want to buy and play the game.
Exactly. And then they get promotion from that, and then they get the players. Here's the thing: the players are also celebrities because people love watching them on Twitch. They love watching them in tournaments, so they would support those players, you know, and they will
right.
support the game on top of that.
So is it kind of like boxing, where it's like you'll have one heavyweight belt that's with this league, one heavyweight belt with this, but there's not really a uniting championship belt? Like, How do you determine if someone's the best at something? Is it just this person won this tournament and this person won this tournament, or is there an ultimate?
There's a ranking system. It depends. Like some tournaments are weighed more than others. Depending, they're called like supers and majors and nationals, super majors. There's all sorts of rankings.
Who decides what's what?
Usually, the community will decide okay. that. For my game, the community decides that, because like they, because my game is more underground.
Yeah.
Esports is like the community hosts the tournaments for my
right.
game, because Nintendo doesn't back us. But for example, like Capcom, there's also underground tournaments for Capcom, but Capcom hosts like Street Fighter Cups and stuff, and then they will determine like based off rankings and stuff and who's the best.
So if it was like Fortnite, mm-hmm. Epic Games would look at all the tournaments and
yeah.
decide which is where
exactly.
What.
I okay. think like
interesting.
A young kid who was like 14, 15 years old won $5 million off Fortnite.
Wow.
And won one of the biggest tournaments. He won $5 million just winning one Fortnite tournament.
Unbelievable.
Maybe it was more. I'm not sure.
Don't
Fortnite
you wish that
money.
You were 14 right when Fortnite came out, Ken?
I think everybody wishes. Well, for me as a gamer, I wish
I know I wouldn't have a chance, but you could be that kid. For
yeah.
Sure.
See, I grew up in a generation where esports just like just was such a little infant, just a little baby.
Yeah.
Now esports is like full grown and just so many possibilities. You know, there's lots of jobs in esports. There's the players. There's the spectators.
Shoutcasters,
exactly. People, I know a lot of my friends are shoutcasters. They, my friend named Frodan, he's a shoutcaster for Hearthstone. Do you know what Hearthstone is?
No, tell me.
Hearthstone is a card game online, just like Magic the Gathering.
Oh, okay.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Have you played any? I've never got into it, but people, instead of like, you know, if you played Magic the Gathering back in the day, you would go to these stores and you would buy Magic packs, open it up, hopefully you get a good card. But then Blizzard made a game named Hearthstone. It's based off like their like lore of like Warcraft or whatever. And instead of buying packs online, they're digitally online. So you buy packs online, and then you pay the same amount of money if you were to buy like a. Then people buy. They spend a lot.
Brilliant.
And you know, people like Daniel Negrano. He plays. He's the poker player, and he streams some Hearthstone sometimes on Twitch, which is crazy. So like, yeah. And then my friend just goes to these tournaments that Blizzard host, and all he does is shoutcast. That's all he does.
That's awesome. Well, hopefully as part of this Esports for Beginners series, we're going to be talking with some shoutcasters and some big players in the Fortnite community.
That's awesome.
I want to talk to you about one last thing, and this is straight out of the world of sports. It happened in NASCAR. A driver, a professional NASCAR driver, who was part of this Esports event where he's in his fake car driving, he got crashed in the video game and he quit the video game, rage quit, lost his sponsor. His sponsor called him a quitter, said, "We don't sponsor quitters." Is this something we see in esports? Because
all
I know I ran into rage quitting.
Where do you think rage quit came from?
Right. Yeah.
It came from esports because there's so many people that rage quit. Like there's so many times where like people can come back. Okay. Here's the thing. Like sometimes the biggest upsets and the biggest comebacks come from people with their last like dying breath come back and like destroy the competition.
Yeah.
But when people rage quit, they just give it all up. You know, it's just like Survivor. Sometimes people are like out there and just like, I want to quit, and then they end up going through and winning the whole entire thing. I'm sure like it's been on everybody's like mind back when they go on Survivor. Like I kind of want to quit. You know, this is hard. But then they end up staying and they do amazing things, you know? It's the same thing with esports, the same thing with sports, you know? I'm sure like there's times where people want to dip out and rage quit, but if you're mentally prepared and you come back from it, then good things happen. But it happens all the time. Like people rage quit, they can't take it anymore. People play lame. There's a style that people play and they can't handle it and they just rage quit.
Is it something that people enjoy seeing? Is it like a fight in hockey? Like, oh, look what's happening.
People love rage quitters.
Like, it's entertaining.
You know? And it's just funny. Okay. I went to a tournament and nobody knew who I was because, you know, I wasn't like decked out or anything and whatever. I kind of like had a hat on and I beat somebody who was apparently really good and he thought I was a nobody and he rage quit. He yanked out his controller. He was like cursing and couldn't believe that he lost to a nobody, which is me, because he didn't know who I was. And then after, like, I, like, pretty much won the tournament, people were like, oh, my God, that's Ken. Like, no wonder he's so good. You know, he's, like, kind of undercovered or whatever. And then he came back, and he came to me. He's like, oh, my God, I didn't know who you were. Like, I'm a big fan and blah, blah, blah. But I played him, and he was talking so much shit about me, like, to his friends after he lost. Like, I can't believe I just lost to the scrub, you know. And he rage quit. But, you know, it is what it is. But my friends loved it because they came to the tournament and they were like watching me play and they're like, oh no, like what happens is, you know, I can't believe like I just rage quit on you, like you sound so much shit. But like,
yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's gotta be the best feeling in the world to have just broken your opponent. You're like Ivan Drago.
But the funny thing is he came up to me afterwards and he was like kissing my ass afterwards, like, oh, I didn't know you were Ken, I'm so sorry for saying all that shit. And you know,
you're like
people
undercover
are two-faced,
boss.
Man.
Yeah.
It's like Survivor all over again.
And then he was mean to you, then he was nice to you, then he probably bashed you on the message board anonymously after that.
Who knows? Here's the thing, I don't look at message boards anymore. Good. It's just like, for me anyways, but I mean, I'm sure it's gotten better.
Believe me, I got a lot of messages during Survivor, and it's just so much easier to not worry about it.
Exactly.
Well, Ken, man, I appreciate you joining me. I can't imagine a better, more informative start to esports for beginners than this.
I hope everybody learned something about esports, you know? I mean, it's just like I said, esports, sports, to me, they're the same thing. It just depends on people. As long as there's a crowd and people are hyped about something and there's a lot of competition, consider it a sports, you know? And I heard I heard people were petitioning Tetris to try to be in the Olympics. Yeah. And so many people bashed it. And I think they almost got approved to have Tetris in the Olympics.
I don't see why not. They should have it's the best in the world competing. Isn't that what the Olympics is all about?
Yeah. And it's funny because I think at the time ESPN and all that stuff were bashing it. And now they're having games on their channel.
Exactly.
During this coronavirus.
All the time. They even had a tournament. I think it was an Apex Pro-Am tournament they were showing.
You know what's really crazy, though? Because there were professional athletes bashing esports back then. And they're why do people consider this a sport? This is not sports. And then they get into games later and they start playing and then they come out with an apology letter. They're like, I'm so sorry I ever bashed this. I didn't know what it was. And now I'm into it. I understand where you guys are coming from. It's crazy.
Well, at least they're owning up to it.
Yeah.
But we found a lot of similarities. We have the same characters we have in sports, the same great background stories for teams and individuals and tournaments that we have in sports, unpredictable endings, underdog stories.
Exactly. They're all the same thing. But to for gamers, it's just the nerd aspects of sports, right? It's the nerd sports.
But honestly, if you just look at sports as a fandom and look in the stands, you have people in costume, people painting their face. I mean, there's nothing that's not nerdy about being a huge sports fan.
Exactly.
You know every single number your team has ever put out. It's the nerdiest thing in the world to be a huge sports fan. It's just socially acceptable.
Exactly. But hopefully, now esports are starting to get there. So absolutely, everybody would accept it. So, you know, hopefully in the next few years.
Well, Ken, we're doing our part.
Thank you. Where can
we keep up with you, Ken? Tell us one more time. Where can we find you on Twitch and social media?
Just follow me on Twitter. I usually post things when I'm going live or a Discord. I made a Discord with Josh, and he's nerding out right now for Final Fantasy VII. He's super new to Discord, and Discord is the Skype for gamers and stuff, you know?
Oh, awesome.
Pretty much. So then you can just post your things on Discord, and people are going to watch you game. And yeah, Josh is super nerding out with Discord and FF7 now, so he's always on there posting his oh, I just got through this part. I'm so happy right now.
I feel so happy for Josh Wiggler and for yourself that Final Fantasy VII is out. So where can we find you on Twitter?
Twitter at Liquid Ken, pretty much the same as my Twitch.
Outstanding. Ken, thank you for joining us. We're going to continue to take a look at the world without sports. My next podcast is going to be with another Survivor great, Brad Culpepper,
joining
us to talk about how he thinks this is going to affect college football, professional football, and professional
athletes.
You should
ask him if he plays any games. I'm pretty sure he plays games.
I will absolutely check in with Brad.
See if he knows anything about esports.
There you go. Well, he's certainly going to be getting educated on esports. Luckily, I talked with him first, so I have something I can tell him.
I hate those esports gamers. They don't know anything about sports.
I'll bring you on for the rebuttal, Ken. I'll absolutely bring you in for the rebuttal. I want to thank Rob Sesternino for letting me put this on. Rob has a podcast. I want to thank Josh Wiggler for helping me out with a lot of tech issues. And I want to thank Ken for being the best guest that I could have kicked this thing off.
No problem. I'm just happy that if people can know more about esports or get them hooked on a little bit of games that they like to watch on Twitch or whatever, and maybe start their own Twitch stream. Who knows?
Start your own Twitch stream and keep up with us for Esports for Beginners Part 2 coming real soon. Hope to see you in the real world real soon. I'm Rick Devins.